Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 1, we were taught that Christ has all the attributes of God because He is God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, as we start here, we see that He has the attributes of Almighty God. Well, that's because He is God. Remember, God is omnipresent, omniscient, that is, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful. He's immutable. That means He changes not. Change is not good in God, okay? He's a God of love. He's a God of holiness, and it's not good that He would change from either of those. He is holy. He is righteous. He is light. He is truth. He is goodness. We have a direct quotation of Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7, where it says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy kingdom is a light scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So we see that, again, this is merely a quotation. But it's a clear reference to Messiah. And the Father is directly calling Him God. He is defined as being eternal. Thy throne is forever. The defining characteristic of His kingdom is righteousness. Boy, I'm glad He is my God. He loves righteousness. But, on the other hand, He hates iniquity. Psalm 5:5 says, The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. It doesn't just hate the works. It says there He hates the workers. And that's the Word of God. Okay, that's the Word of God. We always say, well, He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. And that's true in that He'll save the sinner. But He's angry with the wicked every day, and that person dies without Christ. The outpoured wrath of God will be upon him forever. So He says He hates all workers of iniquity. And we also read here that God has anointed him with the oil of gladness here in verse 9. And isn't that tremendous? The Son here is ascribed a royal throne. The oil of gladness refers to a holy ointment that was used on occasions of great joy. It was used for the anointing of kings in the Old Testament. Gladness has the idea of an exuberant joy of heart. What is in view here is God the Father anointing the Lord Jesus Christ King, clearly showing His superiority over all others. Remember, throughout the book of Hebrews, we're seeing the superiority of the humanity of Christ. We're seeing the God-man. He's 100% God and 100% man, but superior in every way. Now, this should tell every Christian that the person of Christ is central to our thinking about God. Now, does not the scepter of righteousness and love of righteousness remind us of Matthew 6:33, where it says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The old earth will one day be ruled by He who loves righteousness and hates iniquity. You know, iniquity is defined as without law, one who is lawless, and God hates that. He hates when Christian says we have liberty to fulfill these various lusts of the flesh. We have liberty to drink. We have liberty to dance in church. We have liberty to take rock and roll into church. God hates that. and it is abominable in his sight. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ is God Almighty come in the flesh is simply one who is not saved and is headed for hell. I'm not going to be in heaven by my righteousness, nor will I be clothed there in heaven by my righteousness. Philippians 3:9 says it this way, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the righteousness I have. That's the righteousness I want. I will be accepted, but I will be accepted in the Beloved, that is in Christ, and have his righteousness imputed to me, not my own. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans chapter 4, verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Verse 24 of Romans 4 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So the righteousness of Christ is imputed to my account. And that's how I'm accepted into heaven. The authority of his kingdom is righteousness. When we enter that kingdom, there'll be no murder, no lying, no stealing, no immorality, no cheating, no drugs, no alcohol. The only reason we can dwell in heaven is that we are filled with his righteousness. That's why we read in John 17, verses 20 through 24, the following. And there he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So we see there that in Christ, when we become in Christ, we have the righteousness of Christ applied to us, and we are made one in him, and he in us. Wow, what a tremendous thing that awaits for we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, not based on our goodness, but on the great love and mercy of Christ. So he is anointed above thy fellows, that is, above the angels. He obtained this in his humanity by his obedient life. We know it's now 2,000 years later, and the fulfillment of this promise has not taken place. But we do know he is going to come. We do know he will reign. We do know that every part of his promise will be completely, totally fulfilled. You can go to the bank with that. God's promises have a trust element in them that is to be grasped by faith. And they have a time element in them that is to be grasped by patience. Now, Jesus wonderfully demonstrates both for we who follow him, because he is the infinite righteous one. So he demonstrates both faith and patience for us in his humanity, that we might walk in his steps. So we've seen the infallible person in verses 1 through 3, the inherently better one, verses 4 and 5, the instruments of worship, verses 6 and 7, and the infinitely righteous one, verses 8 and 9. Now we want to see the incredible creator, verses 10 through 12. Because we remember John 1:3, without him was not anything made that was made. And so we looked at verse 10 there, and he says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." So when he says, "And thou, Lord," he is speaking of Jesus. We see then the eternality of the Son of God. He was in the beginning with the Father. He did not come into existence after the Father, but was from everlasting and to everlasting. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth, he did not merely arrange materials already created. Instead, he created ex nihilo, out of nothing. Now, I know that men today brag of their great powers and abilities. They're able to send men in spaceships to the moon and other places, and they've made a lot of progress, our modern travel, modern medications, all down the line. But they didn't create anything because they always had to use something that God provided in this creation and put things together and try to figure it out. But the Lord didn't have gases or anything else. He created the heavens and the earth, all the stars, all the galaxies. He created it. Ex nihilo, out of nothing. In other words, he brought things into being by the word of his power, as he says in verse 3. And he continues to uphold all things merely by the word of his power. I saw a sign that said, "Who lit the fuse for the Big Bang?" Well, I like that. These people believe in a Big Bang theory. I like what that guy said. Who lit the fuse for the Big Bang? Well, my friend, I don't believe in evolution, and I do not believe in theistic evolution. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. There was a six-day creation, and on the seventh day, God rested. Those were 24-hour days, and it was over a seven-day period. People have trouble believing that, but if you can believe in the beginning God, then all the rest of it should fall right into place for you. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.